And we turn now, friends, to our gospel lesson this morning. As we follow along in the lectionary, we have been going through Matthew's gospel, and we had gotten through the end of the sixth chapter, the beginning of the seventh. But as we begin Lent, the lectionary takes us back in time a little bit, this time to the beginning of chapter 4. And this selection of Matthew's gospel takes place right after Jesus had been baptized by John in the Jordan and the Spirit descended upon him. So there in the first verse of chapter 4, we read, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' And the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us.
Thanks
be to God. Amen. 40 days and 40 nights. For 40 days, you and I are called to traverse this season we call Lent. As we've said, it's 40 days the Christian calendar gives us to wander and to wonder, to reflect and search once more for who we are and whose we are. But in all honesty, this really is a rather strange season. In fact, you are not even going to find one mention of the word Lent in all of Scripture. Not once does Jesus or Paul or anyone else charge disciples to observe a Lenten season. Rather, what Scripture does tell us is that for 40 days, the rain came down and flooded the earth as God hit the metaphorical reset button. For 40 years, Israel wandered the wilderness, not only trying to find their way back to a distant promised land, but also very much trying to find their identity and their God-given purpose. For 40 days, we're told Moses fasted upon Mount Sinai in the wilderness as God gave him the law to give to God's people so that they would see the way to live into life in all of its fullness. And then for 40 days, we're told the prophet Elijah fasted in the wilderness at another mount, this the Mount of Horeb, until God came amid the sound of sheer silence to remind him that God wasn't done with him yet. As we just read, for 40 days and nights, Jesus fasted in the wilderness. Now, I've already told you I don't like to fast. So the thought of fasting for 40 days seems rather horrific to me personally, but that's really not the point after all. Scripture is actually very clear that the wilderness is not to be expected to be a place of comfort. How could it be when the wilderness is intentionally void of all things familiar to us, leaving no room for the earthly securities and identities we use to traverse this world? The wilderness strips away every pretense. It tears down every facade, which means the wilderness, in both the literal and metaphorical way, is actually a place of deep, deep vulnerability. So not surprisingly, the wilderness is a place that very few people ever intentionally seek out. We've learned that life is easiest, not necessarily fullest, but life is easiest when we avoid our growing edges. But still, we find ourselves in the wilderness from time to time, sometimes when bad decisions lead to more bad decisions, but also many times when life takes a twist or a turn that is far beyond our ability to control. That's actually why Jesus found himself in the wilderness. He had no say in the matter. The Spirit drove him there right after his baptism. Now, it's important to note that Jesus' time in the wilderness, it was far different from any you or I have experienced. No wilderness experience is ever really exactly the same as another, even though they grow from the same roots. Rather, Matthew tells us that amid his wilderness wanderings, Jesus was tempted three different times. First, he was told to make food for his famished body. And then he was asked to prove that God would protect him. And then finally, he was offered more power and authority than any of us can fathom. And often, I believe, often we tend to think that this is how temptation comes to us. Often we assume that temptation means simply wanting to do something we shouldn't do, like eat a forbidden piece of fruit, or take what isn't ours to take, or give in to a desire we shouldn't give in to, or treating someone in a way we know we shouldn't treat them. And these are real temptations, certainly. But both Matthew and Genesis, they reveal something else about temptation, something that sits at the root of every temptation this world will ever hurl at us. Namely, while temptation shows up in all sorts of ways, at its heart, every temptation boils down to the same question. Who are you? That's it. Who are you? It really doesn't matter what the specifics are. As the Lutheran scholar David Lowe says so well, when push comes to shove, all the various temptations we encounter stem from the primary temptation, from the primary temptation to forget whose we are, and therefore to forget who we are. Because once we don't remember who and whose we are, we do all kinds of things to dispel the insecurity that attends to any life that's seeking acceptance that only can be found in knowing exactly who and whose we are. That's what temptation does. It lures us into forgetting or ignoring our deeply rooted identity. It plants these seeds of doubt that the way of grace and love of God will secure us all of our days. This was actually at the root of all three of Jesus' temptation. And did you hear as the tempter was tempting him? It asked, if you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, then prove it and turn these stones into bread. And when that didn't work, it proclaimed, okay, I still don't believe that you're God's son, so prove it. If you really are the Son of God, if you truly belong to God, then hurl yourself off this peak and God will save you. Again, it's actually a question about identity. And when those didn't work, the tempter flat out made it plain and simple. Deny who you are. Deny the one to whom you belong, and I will give you the world and everything in it. It's really no different than the first temptation that Scripture describes. When the serpent approached Adam and Eve and told them, you don't really need God now, do you? Think for yourself. Who's God to tell you what you can eat and what you can't? We face a lot of that in this world of ours. Each and every day, people are going to tell us that who we are is not enough. They're going to tell us that our identities are not secure just as they are. They tell us we need to be slimmer or wealthier or more powerful or somehow more secure. But temptation is also much, much more subtle than that. Like when a body begins to defy you and you lose your sense of self because you're no longer the physically independent person you've always envisioned yourself to be. Or when divorce splits a family and you lose a sense of self as you forge a new form of family. Or when a parent sends their child off to college and you lose a sense of self because your identity as a parent seems to be slipping. Or when you lose a job, or when you retire, or when you no longer have the ability to identify yourself by your occupation, temptation strikes each and every time we're robbed of something by which we identify ourselves, something we think makes us us. It's really why Lent is so incredibly important, friends. For Lent, more than any other time of our year, it pushes us into the wilderness. Not so we'll suddenly find ourselves lost or forsaken, but so that we'll finally find ourselves stripped of all of the pretenses and facades we carry around with us, so that we'll finally be freed to uncover once again exactly whose and who we are. It's why Lent, at its heart, is really a season all about self-discovery. A time to explore more intentionally than ever what it means to identify ourselves first as a child of God, whose worth is determined not by our appearance, not by our incomes, not by our jobs, not even by our relationships. So that the next time pain or harm befalls us in this world, the next time we're confronted with tragedy and we're tempted to think that hope really is hopeless, we will remember who we are, trusting in God to be God and following as faithfully as we can. And the next time we're tempted to think that life revolves around us, as the world tries to tell us, the next time we're tempted to follow society's model of hoarding what we have and relying on things for our security, we'll remember who we are and God's call to be a blessing. And the next time we're tempted to think that our purpose in life isn't in any way negotiable, the next time we're tempted to think that our value in this life stems from what we do, or that our self-worth gets to be defined by anybody other than Jesus, we'll remember who and whose we are. For if we forget these things, if we lose sight of this, faith loses its power, and ministry, it becomes something we resent rather than something we celebrate. And life loses meaning, both for us and for others. So I implore you, friends, dig in. It's time to roll up our sleeves and dig into this season we call Lent. It's time to explore our relationships with God. It's time to explore some spiritual disciplines for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time. I've suggested some in my newsletter article this month. For Lent comes each and every year to shake us from our pretenses and our facades, that we might wrestle once again with who we think we are versus who God claims us to be in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And just to be clear, if you need any help in your Lenten wanderings this year, if you happen just to get a little bit lost along the way, let me suggest two landmarks: the font and the table, signs of God's love at work, not only around us, but even within us, signifying again whose and who we really are. Let us remember, friends, and let us explore. Amen.